welcome. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Come on now, babe.
Babe, not that music. Thanks so. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We've got a great show for you. A full hour of wonderful people here in the studio. We have Jane Gotch, Pat Alexander, Angie Jennings, Christopher Santi, Katie Stone, and Neil Humamato. We've got just so much information to share with you, and happy you tuned in to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, or listening to us online, kkfi.org. My first guest, you'll recognize, she's one of our favorites here at the station, Jane Gotch. She is a phenomenal choreographer, performer, dancer, and she's going to talk about the work that she's created specifically public squared for Kansas City. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. And I want to say congratulations to you on your engagement.
Thank you.
So I'm very excited to have you here. And I know you moved about a year ago to Toronto.
Just a little over a year ago.
So let's talk about Public Squared, because I know you're on a short visit here because you have to go to performance. So tell us about that.
Yeah, we received funding through Arts in the Loop. I wanted to... In moving to Toronto, I wanted to be able to stay in contact and be a part of my amazing Kansas City art community that I love and cherish, even though I'm in Toronto. And so making a project that was virtual reality based seemed like a way I could come in, work with dancers I know, and leave something here that could be watched over a period of time throughout the summer. So with... VR and video expert Ian Garrett from Toronto and dancer Trina Warren and Leo Gayden, we created three virtual reality performances that take place at 4th in Delaware, 9th in Maine, and to the east side of Union Station at each of the streetcar stops. That's been up all summer and will continue through the middle of September. And as a culmination to that, we're creating a live performance that will be performed on Saturday at 6:15 p.m.
Terrific. You know, reading through the project description, I was very excited and wanted to learn more about it. As creators of public performance, you're going to generate a conceptual feedback loop by documenting and describing the environment's history, architectural features, and inhabitants, while simultaneously inhabiting and becoming new history and architecture. Right?
I love making site-specific work, and I'm... been very interested in sort of the outreach and what virtual reality might be able to do. I think in a lot of ways the technology we have isn't even able to do what it's like we're like constantly trying to catch up to what is possible and what we might be wanting to do with that technology. So moving from site-specific performance into something that was geolocated and site-specific in a virtual way seems like a logical extension of the work I've been making.
Well, and you know, you give an example here in your description, Jane. The audience might arrive to the Union Station streetcar stop and be instructed to begin the performance by viewing the virtual reality video of that stop. Wow.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, it's very interactive with the viewer and in a way that you wouldn't really consider choreography.
All right. And I think even with technology, because most of the time we interact with technology in our home or on our cell phone or even going to a dark movie theater and we're alone. But the goal of this project was to get people out into the city and coming to a location, much like you would a theater. But in a public space and reclaiming maybe ownership of what public space is for the people that live here, and that defining that and organizing and creating that isn't just like city planners or the city that says this is public, but by the actions and the space we hold as people.
Wow. One other thing, that it also expands Kansas City's history as a launch site for Google Fiber.
I thought it was a good fit. I think it was
that
a good fit.
Sense.
So, yeah, actually, the free Wi-Fi that's provided by Sprint along the line helps to make the VR experience stream more quickly and have better resolution for the viewers.
What do you hope the viewer gains from this experience through this interaction? What do you see happening?
I mean, I guess I hope, like, they maybe never look at these normal streetcar stops that they ride every day or go to every day in a different way and be like, oh yeah, that's where that guy was doing a backflip over the bench, or, you know, like, just a different sense of play and wonder about a place that they know and is really common mm-hmm. in their life.
What are some of the performance? What can you describe what some of the performance will be like? I mean, is it with music, with what's in the environment there?
So I guess expanding and kind of playing on the idea of a public square. If you've ever been to the space to the east of Union Station, the cement is actually divided into squares. Mm-hmm. So we're using and creating movement within that confine of a shape space and then expanding and contracting that using the entire block.
Wow.
So it's a little bit mathematical in a mm-hmm. way in the approach, and using a shape to organize the way the dancers interact with each other, the location, and the onlookers, are knowing onlookers or unknowing onlookers.
Yeah. So you have quite a crew with you in this performance, not only the performers, but you also have, you know, the virtual reality camera. And
there won't be on Saturday. So that was,
okay.
That's how we made the pieces. There's kind of two parts to the project. So that's how we made the pieces that are on view
now.
And have been on view. And then Saturday is just, we like dancing live too. So we just wanted to have one sort of culminating portion to the performance event, long-term 3-month event that was live.
And I want to mention to our listeners that the upload, the virtual videos that were uploaded can be seen at Public Square.
PublicSquaredKC.com.
Yeah, and that's a website built specifically for this project.
Correct.
Right? How long will that be up, or is it?
Till about September 15th.
Okay. Okay, so if you're interested in kind of finding out about the performance, about what we're talking about, this wonderful project with Jane Gotch, you can, take a look at PublicSquaredKC.com for more information about that. What are some other sources of information that people can go to learn more or to really truly understand the project itself?
Well, Art in the Loop has their own website. You can read a bit about my personal website is janegotch.com. Ian Garrett, who is the VR specialist, his organization or company is called Toaster Lab, and I think it's toasterlab.com.
Is this something, does this give you sort of an idea to take back to Toronto? Because I know now that you're from Nebraska via Kansas City and now in Toronto. Is there something that you might want to do with the two, you know, cities or countries?
Honestly, well, a couple of things is, one, I feel like I need to now make a whole nother project based off of what I learned in this project.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things that we shot, like half the footage had to be cut because it didn't read in the virtual world, I guess, and on the phone. But I, as being a person who's living in a new place and exploring a new place daily, it makes me look at where I am and myself in that place in a different way. And I would like to make something in Toronto. I guess location, like specific, like city, is not as important to me for the next project, but just looking at the place I am, whether that's making another project here or in Toronto, or maybe a video that's accessible in Kansas City that's a view in Toronto and vice versa, like at some type of a artist exchange on a virtual level. I don't know.
This is a one of a kind.
I hope yes and no. There are more and more artists internationally who are beginning to work with this media, and I really feel that we haven't even like touched the surface of what this medium can do. And I don't feel like in my own work, I've even touched the surface of what I can do with this.
Yeah, because this is a whole new approach for you, isn't it?
It's very much a whole new approach. And there are definitely things I would do differently next time. So I would love for people to go and tell me, oh, I really love, this was really, I really could connect with this and this not so much. Like, I need the feedback because I'm pushing myself into a medium and a world of a way of creating work that is really new for me, which is exciting.
This is really exciting. So, again, tell our listeners the dates, the times, the name of the performance, and any other information that they can gain further information.
Sure. Public Squared is a two-part project. So the VR aspect of the project is up until the middle of September, and the live portion of the project is only on this Saturday, the 24th at 6:15 p.m. on the east side of Union Station.
So exciting to have you back in town. We love you, Jane.
We love you too.
is there anything that we left out that you want to mention? Your website or?
My website is janegotch.com.
Okay. Good.
I love you, Kansas City. I'm happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
We love you. I'm glad that you laughed for us.
Jane Gotch
has the best laugh ever.
She tries to make me laugh every time I come on the radio.
We love you. I'm so happy that you're here in town, and we'll be seeing you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after these messages.
Hey, it's Junebug. Can you believe it? The Blues Kitchen has been on the air at KKFI for 20 years. Well, it's time to party. We will celebrate in Knuckleheads on Saturday, September 28th at 6:30 with Freedom Affair, Turkey Bone and Full Count, Junebug and the Porch Lights, Katie Guillen and Stephanie Williams, and national recording artist Damon Fallon. Get your tickets now at knuckleheadskc.com for this KKFI benefit. For all Blues Kitchen event information, go to kkfi.org. We'll see you on September 28th. And remember, don't forget about these blues.
15th Annual Crossroads Music Fest is coming September 7th, and tickets are on sale right now. This year's headliners are Madison Ward and the Mama Bear.
Last night I slept in a big yellow taxi.
And Split Lip Rayfield.
Key to happiness or misery, don't draw from the deck of misfits.
Joined by over 20 other bands on 6 stages, including the Freedom Affair, Shy Boys, Ensemble America, My Brothers and Sisters, Violet and the Undercurrents, and many more. Support for Crossroads Music Fest Saturday, September 7th comes from the Neighborhood Tourist Development Fund. Over 20 bands in 6 venues on September 7th. Tickets are on sale right now for the KKFI Crossroads Music Fest at cmfkc.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I want to introduce you to our next guest, Katie Stone. She's a contemporary American artist who draws her inspiration from nature, phenomena, and memory, and she'll present her first Kansas City solo exhibition, Once Upon a Time, September 6th through October 5th at the KCAI Crossroads Gallery, Center for Contemporary Practice at 1819 Grand Boulevard. So I want to say welcome, and I'm happy to meet you.
Thank you. It's great to meet you, too.
Yeah, so this is going to be an exciting installation, and it's going to be huge, right? It's going to be massive.
Yeah, I really like to make immersive environments that create an actual emotional and physical experience of viewing, so that I work in all scales, and I'm trained as a painter, but my practice has evolved over the years toward kind of unbound marks. So mm-hmm. I'll be using the ceiling, skylight, the floors, the walls, and materials and objects will be coming together, draping, cascading, and large, small, so that the viewers can really enter the space and have an immersive experience.
Yeah, that's a beautiful space to work with. So you're going to have works spilling across the wall, spilling onto the floor and such. So what I understand that your artworks are mostly natural materials, right?
Well, my works refer to nature, but I am really attracted to synthetic materials. Uh-huh. I think there's something, of course, we live in the 21st century, and as I studied art, my material choices began to gravitate away from traditional materials like oil and canvas, mm-hmm. and I started being interested in just the physical property of the material itself and evocative materials that are transparent, delicate, light, fragile, and ephemeral feeling. The irony, of course, with synthetic materials is that it's not really ephemeral, but its characteristics are. And so I use a lot of materials that are specifically interactive with light and have a reflectivity or, again, the transparency and a delicacy. And so my interest in nature is the idea of nature as surrounding us and also capturing the processes and the phenomenons of passage of time and change and movement that is life in general. And so there's an interesting juxtaposition of synthetic and very organic in my work that in some ways is jarring and also in other ways has a complete flow and harmony to it.
And so that also, because of the title of the show, Once Upon a Time, it really reflects that sort of ephemeral quality.
Right. And the show is, the title of the show is actually a song that's an old jazz standard song. And my father passed away in November, and he and I both really loved music, and he shared the song with me. And what made it really poignant, I was toying with titling the show that, but also it's kind of a grand title, and so, you know, wondering about that. But the person who sang the song is Jay McShann.
Oh, wow.
And the minute I found out that Jay McShann lived in Kansas City his whole life, I was like, okay, that's a sign. That's the title of the show. So that sense of a fairy tale, in a way, a tale, a heightened experience of something that when you're told a once upon a time story, you listen and look in a different way. And it does kind of give you that experience of distance and closeness and a place for your imagination to unfold. And those are all things that I'm hoping to create for viewers and kind of capture a particular feeling.
I'm very excited to see this. The opening takes place Friday, September 6th from 6 to 8, and a gallery talk will take place on September 7th at noon. You paint on a variety of materials, and then you layer the elements into sculptural assemblages and installations that blur the boundaries between drawing, painting, and sculpture, and act as both kaleidoscope and microscope. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm really interested in just the idea of paying attention and looking at all kinds of things that surround us. And so that kind of attunement to materials and layering, the idea of making something really big with a lot of small parts is another thing that is very characteristic of my work, and the idea of how that speaks to infinite processes that surround us and the kind of constructed nature of life or community or person. I get to be in the space for almost 2.5 weeks building the installation, and so it's very much going to be evident that you're in an environment that took time to create, and that sense of the layering of marks and materials as you move through the space. And the other thing that's going to be really fun is that as I'm in the space longer, there's a lot of beautiful natural light in the space. There are skylights, which I've purposefully controlled some of those aspects. We're covering two of the skylights and just leaving one open. There's a big natural west-facing window, and at this time of year, the light changes a lot very dramatically because of the shift toward the equinox. And so that whole way, that another aspect of my work that's going to enliven the space in a way that I can't quite even picture yet, is that there'll be a lot of reflections and shadows and bouncing of light off the materials onto the walls that creates a very interesting immaterial presence. So the juxtaposition of those passages of light. And if you come and see it during the daytime, for example, it'll look very different than if you come and see it in the evening when the opening is happening. So that's an exciting aspect of the space and working in the space that I'm exploiting and intentionally interacting with.
And it's pretty exciting to be able to work with that ambient light, you know, make it work for you in a way that sort of highlights what you're wanting to exhibit within, you know, the gallery walls. So
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my funnest things to do. Is my favorite thing, the heart of my practice, is really temporary installation. I get to do a lot of larger scale projects that are permanent in public buildings because I work in architecturally scaled form. And so, but it's really fun for me to make an experience that I know is time-based and time-bound. Yeah. It'll never happen again in the same way. It's unique to this space and this time of year and this site, and that's really special to get to do that.
You know, and I love that you said that because it's really exciting. It's really sort of a different set of sort of guidelines in that you're dealing with time in a way that you're not dealing with the confines of this or that. It's the time, the light.
Mm-hmm. And the fixed, the other thing is, like, my work is constructed, so that sense of as you're looking at it, you actually know that it's a fabrication. I like to show that it's made, and in that way hopefully make you aware of the passage of time that's always around you and change and the kind of human desire or condition that we have sometimes of wanting for things to stay the same and also knowing that we're immersed in change all the time.
And do you think that, I mean, to that, do you think that we're always aware of time unless it's, well, okay, now it's time to go here, time to go there? I mean, just sort of that natural time that exists in our world, do you think that's something that we are aware of constantly, or we're just sort of bombarded by other things that help us forget about that?
Yeah, I think we're aware of it. I think that we aren't aware of it all the time, and there's moments in life when you do become really aware of it in a more crystalline way. And then there's also just the time of kind of accepting the flow of the seasons, accepting death, accepting that birth, accepting that we're all part of a really big cycle.
I love that. Yeah. If you just tuned in to Art Speak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. I'm talking to Katie Stone, a contemporary American artist. She's exhibited nationally and internationally at galleries in New York, Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco, and Vienna. We're talking about her opening reception, Once Upon a Time, her exhibition that's going to be at the KCAI Crossroads Gallery. That is at 1819 Grand, and that opens Friday, September 6th from 6 to 8, and then a gallery talk following that the next day on September 7th at noon. Would you like to share any of your website information or social media?
Sure. My website is katiestone.net, and also on that website is a jump page to the galleries that represent my work, where some of my more recent works are featured on, so that's easy to get to. And then I'm documenting the installation on Instagram at katiestone.art. And every couple of days I'll be shooting photos of just the process as it unfolds, and I'm capturing some of the moments as the installation builds and potentially changes and just grows.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, sometimes I like to see the sort of, you know, the underside of working and seeing sort of the building, the construction, the thought process. Always nice to see the finished project, the, you know, finished work as well. But something exciting about seeing the underneath of everything.
Well, and it's funny too, because I was invited, the curator of the program, Michael Schoenhoff, invited me to create an installation in January. So I had this time to have a general concept, and I came to visit the space in May and actually got to see it. And then over the last several months, it's been living in my head, and now I'm making it real. So it's fun to bump up against some of the ways I thought it would feel versus how it really feels, and kind of dealing with how I'm going to construct some of the pieces. There's a lot of really tiny specifics that the viewers won't even know have been sweated over, details to make it just feel really flowing in there.
That's beautiful. Katie, it was great to meet you, and I wish you luck on this. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be the first Friday in September, which is really, what, only a couple of weeks away?
A couple of weeks away. Yeah.
So that will be the opening reception of Once Upon a Time, Friday, September 6th at the KCAI Crossroads Gallery, 1819 Grand. And then the gallery talk will take place on September 7th at noon. Katie, so good to meet you. Welcome back. Come back anytime.
Thank you so much. Great to meet you, too.
You bet. I have a song queued up just for you, and we'll be right back.
A girl with moonlight in her eyes put her hand in mine. She said she loved me so. That was once upon a time, very long ago. Once upon a hill, we sat beneath a willow tree. For the dawn, so once upon a time, now the tree is gone. How the breeze rustles through her hair. Always love as though tomorrow was there. We were young, didn't have a care. So
hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, Two Takes in a Movie, currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a drama about certain folks in Appalachia, and it's called Them That Follows.
This is a film that is sort of an expose of a religious cult in Appalachia where they're handling poisonous snakes to test your faith. And the drama that follows, it's very unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't recommend it. I think it's slow. It's not Winter's Bone.
Alice Englert is a very good actress, and she has the lead role as this young woman who I don't think is giving away too much to say that she is secretly pregnant. Her father's the preacher, and the complications arise when she's going to be married off to someone else but wants to be with the man who is the father of the child. And those complications arise from that. It's really well acted. Englert is very good. Olivia Colman, who's an Oscar-winning actress,
that's right,
plays a role in this as well. Oddly enough, Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, plays her husband. He doesn't have very many lines, but it's kind of interesting to see him in a strictly dramatic role.
Mm-hmm.
And a really good performance, I think, from Walton Goggins, who plays the preacher. He's completely convincing as this guy who's absolutely
slick.
He's slick, but he's also rock solid in his beliefs, and he's not going to allow anyone to disagree with him.
Yes. Well, I think it also shows how corrosive a religion can be, how insidious, not your spirituality, but a doctrine that is so extreme, and how it can really mess up your life.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people can relate to that.
Yes.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Hello, I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. This is ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM or listening to us online, kkfi.org. You know, I want to mention that we've got this Crossroads Music Fest coming up May 7th. So exciting. We just love when it comes around every year. This is the 15th annual Crossroads Musical Music Fest, and Madison Ward and the Mama Bear, Split Lip Rayfield, so many others, Shy Boys, Freedom Affair, Ensemble Iberica, my brothers and sisters, Violet and the Undercuts, so many bands, so many musicians, six venues. That's taking place September 7th. And, you know, for more information, kkfi.org would be the website. And we're so happy to be a part of the Crossroads Music Fest. Thank you so much, Bill Sundahl, for bringing us music. So there's that. Thanks so much. Now, you know, I want to mention that our guest that I have up next in the studio is with the Eastside People's Intercultural Center, Epicenter. And this is Christopher Santee. He's excited to announce the opening of an exhibition, Untold Stories, Douglas County Social Movements, from 1968 to 2018. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you.
You know, I met you a few months ago before the storms hit Lawrence and all that, and very excited that you took my invitation to come on air, and you have this wonderful exhibition, Untold Stories, that's coming up, this weekend, right?
Yeah, this Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. in Lawrence. And, yeah, we're really excited to have an installation, actually an exhibition, in the Murphy Brommelsick House, which is a historic building in Lawrence. It's been placed in Hobbs Park, and we'll be releasing actually two projects. The Untold Stories Social Movements exhibition will be there through September 29th. And we'll also be releasing a East Lawrence walking tour map that is a go-at-your-own-pace walking tour of East Lawrence with some radical history of that part of town.
Yeah, you know, people may or may not be aware of that. There's such a history in Lawrence that, you know, you walk around through the town and the streets and all that, not really realizing how much has taken place there.
Yeah, I think people in Lawrence might know some of the stories. Yeah. And, you know, we might like to think of ourselves as an interesting, progressive town, and we definitely have some of that history. You know, growing up in Lawrence, I didn't exactly learn this history, mm-hmm. what Howard Zinn called the people's history. And so to be able to document some of it through this project has been really special, and I hope that the community, you know, learns a lot from it.
Absolutely. Well, I know that with the People's History of East Lawrence walking tour, you have about 10 stops in East Lawrence.
Exactly. We'll be releasing that map this Saturday, and then, you know, that tour will be available to anyone who wants to follow along. There'll be quite a few interesting stops, including the St. Luke's AME Church, the 411 Studio, the Afro House, and La Yarda, just to name a few, which are some really interesting places in East Lawrence that have cultural and historical significance.
And with the Untold Stories, Douglas County Social Movements from 1968 to 2018, what will we see there?
We have original materials included from quite a few places and events, including Food Not Bombs, the C.J. Bruin Radical Library, the Haskell Wetlands, just to name a few. You know, the Food Not Bombs movement is an international movement, and the co-founder, Keith McHenry, actually lived in Lawrence and Kansas City for a time in the late 90s and early 2000s. And so there's been quite a few chapters of Food Not Bombs throughout the area, but quite interesting that the co-founder was a part of it in Lawrence. Keith actually came to the area to help with the Leonard Peltier Defense Fund, mm-hmm. and ended up staying for quite some time and keeping a Food Not Bombs chapter going in Lawrence.
If you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm speaking with Christopher Santee of Eastside People's Intercultural Center, Epicenter, which is an up-and-coming arts-based organization celebrating and supporting the cultures and stories of underrepresented groups in Lawrence, especially people of color. So very important organization for Lawrence, right?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we're just a group of six people from Lawrence that have had various activism and art throughout the years that we've been involved with, and Epicenter is trying to highlight some of that history of Lawrence and eventually might be able to have its own space. Right now we're very happy to use the Sunrise Project as our both our fiscal sponsor as well as our sort of home away from home that we don't have, so we're appreciative to them for that.
Well, I know that you had I want to say a speaker series, for lack of a better word, where you brought in people who are muralists, artists, community activists, and that to speak about their work, right?
Exactly. That's how you and I met. Mm-hmm. In February, I think it was, Jenny Mendez came from mm-hmm. Matty Rhodes, and we had 10 different speakers last year in the People's Art Speaker Series, and that was a really good way to highlight different voices from the Lawrence and Kansas City area doing their art and activism. And so now we've moved on to a couple other projects, like you said, the Untold Stories and the walking tour. We also have an upcoming project called Homemade, which is a cookbook that will be documenting some of the food and practices in East Lawrence over the years. And that's coming soon. So we're accepting submissions now for the Homemade cookbook.
And for those submissions, would you share the website or contact information?
We have a website. It's epicenterks.com. And we're also on Facebook at Epicenter, so you can find us there.
You know, and I want to mention, again, Epicenter, which stands for Eastside People's Intercultural Center. They are an arts-based organization celebrating and supporting the cultures and stories of underrepresented people or groups in Lawrence. And again, the Untold Stories Douglas County Social Movements from 1968 to 2018 and the companion People's History of East Lawrence Walking Tour takes place Saturday, August 24th.
Yep, that'll be the opening this Saturday evening from 7 to 9, excuse me, but we'll also be there every Saturday and Sunday that follows until September 29th from 1 to 5. So anyone can come and view the exhibit between 1 to 5 at the Murphy Brommel Sick House in Lawrence, which is in Hobbs Park. So we'll be there with some really interesting original materials from, you know, the Solidarity Revolutionary Center and the Kansas Key Press as well, to name a couple others.
Beautiful. The Murphy Brummelsick House is at the corner of 10th and Delaware, right?
Yes.
In Hobbs Park?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not its original location. Okay. It was built in the 1860s and was moved there from 909 Pennsylvania, but it's a really interesting building. It also kind of harkens back to the history of Lawrence.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, what is the significance of the Murphy Brummelsick House?
Well, as far as I understand, the Murphy Brommelsick House was home to one of those people, Murphy or Brommelsick or both, I'm not sure, but they were, I believe, abolitionists in the middle of the 20th century living in Lawrence.
Wow. You know, thank you for presenting this because, you know, it makes people more aware of you know, the area they live in if they don't already, and it gives you an opportunity to learn more or learn about, you know, these movements and, you know, the house and so much more. 1968 to 2018.
Yeah, it's a very interesting era. Yes.
Yeah.
The current era. And yeah, like I said, growing up in Lawrence, you know, we think of ourselves as a progressive town, but we don't know the whole story necessarily, and so I've learned a lot personally being a part of this process, and I hope the community also gets a lot out of it and sees how some of these things that we are involved with now go way back and can see some of the original materials.
I love that. Thank you so much, Christopher, for coming in, and you'll be back, I'm sure, because, you know, it's important to keep people informed of things happening not only in Kansas City but in Lawrence and, you know, the metropolitan area. So
thank you so much, Maria, for having us.
You bet. You'll be back.
Thanks.
And we'll be back right after this.
This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, hear Maine Iron Workers Local 7 business agent Grant Provost tell why the Maine AFL-CIO adopted their own Green New Deal to avert climate catastrophe. Then, author and labor historian Jeremy Brecker reports about a recent labor convergence on the Green New Deal. While some unions are for it, others are against. Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday at 5 a.m.
Michael, me and Jethro down on the farm wants to know what's on the next Arts Magazine show.
Well, Homer, we'll have City Theater of Independence and talk about their show Barefoot in the Park.
We go barefoot everywhere. I tain't had a pair of shoes on since 1962, and them was loafers.
Then later, Kansas City Public Theater and all they have coming up.
Let them eat cake.
With Moonshine. That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine show.
Hello, this is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and, you know, you can wear the headphones or not, Patrick. It's okay. You know, my next set of artists, the group, oh, my gosh, you guys, I love them. This is Pat Alexander, Angie Jennings, and Neil Humamoto, all to talk about stuff that's happening soon.
Yeah.
Right, honey? Ooh, that's loud. Yeah. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us what's
happening.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. It's kind of turned into Photography Week here in Kansas City.
USA.
Yeah. So KCSCP and Charlotte Street is hosting Free Film USA. They are coming in from New York with their Airstream trailer and handing out free film. We're doing a little kickoff party tonight, which is also a print exchange and introduction and all that fun stuff tonight.
Film distribution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have the wonderful Neil here that made it just in time, Neil.
Yep, just in time.
So, yeah, from New York. So welcome. Yeah. How do you like Kansas City so far?
So far, so good.
We like you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we like what you're doing with this Free Film USA. Traveling photographers will arrive at 4001 Truce with their two customized Airstreams. Two.
Just one.
Oh, we lost one along that
we
corner
did.
That down in Arkansas. But this is really exciting. So, you know, everyone that shows up will receive a roll of 35 black and white film and go from there.
Sure. So the name of the project is Free Film USA. It's sort of what the team calls a sort of crowdsourced photo journal. Me, along with three other artists from New York, are traveling in two trucks in an Airstream, stopping in 18 cities across the country over 3.5 months. Distributing 35 millimeter film to local photographers for free. In exchange, we ask the photographers for sort of their time and creativity. We give them the roll of film. We have them shoot it on the theme red, white, and blue, except I will remind you that it's all black and white film. They return it to us before we pull out of town for the next stop, and then we do the rest. We process, print, and there's going to be this traveling exhibition of photographs as we go from city to city. And we're sort of pleased that Kansas City is the first city where we're actually having some of the silver gelatin prints that we're creating.
Wow, that's a big undertaking. I mean, I don't even know what to say. It's really a huge, ambitious project. But what sort of was the inspiration for this?
Sure.
For you?
We actually did a version of this project last year in New York City. Okay. On the famous Canal Street. We were given a small piece of real estate right in the heart of it. And the concept came to me thinking about a way to run a project underneath the studio that I work out of called Worthless Studios. I wanted to do a project that was sort of interdisciplinary, where the artists, myself included, could work together on something. So I racked my brain and came up with the idea, working with Sean Jackson, sort of the head of the darkroom on the Free Film project, and our other teammate, Free Trip, who's a sculptor, performance artist, musician, painter. Free does it all. And sort of came up with this concept to crowdsource a view on a theme. The theme for that version was just the word canal. Mm-hmm. We did 100 rolls of film, distributed it in under 10 hours, did 100 photographs, 85 of the rolls were returned. So 15 people made off with a little goodie. 85 made it back, and then we had a jury that ended up selecting photographs from 45 of those 85 photographers, and those were then printed and exhibited for the public to enjoy.
Wow, that's a big undertaking. You know, with this red, white, and blue, once you're done with the assignment, then you bring the free film back to the Airstream. But in terms of the content, the subject matter, red, white, and blue, Is that a little dicey in terms of this is, you know, this is the subject, you know, but are, do you have to be cautious in terms of censorship, or are there some sort of guidelines that people have when they take the role of film? I mean, do you have any sort of...
No, not really, to be honest. Okay. I mean, I think that's what this project's about. There are some requirements to participate. We do ask that all participants, you know, have a working 35mm camera. We want to make sure that you are going to be able to pick up the roll, and in the 48 or 72 hours that you have to return it, can actually shoot it. You have to be over 18. And then, you know, the last requirement is sort of looking us in the eye and telling us that you're going to return the roll. And, you know, we kind of just go off of our gut. And it's great when people actually come back with the roll in hand to give it back to us.
So there is a schedule that, that they're following very closely. 8/22, the 22nd of this month is the film drop-off and pick-up, and so on. 8/23, the same. Then a reception and touring exhibition at the 23rd of August. The 24th is the film drop-off and pick-up, and the 24th is also free demos, mini workshops, portrait booth, and more. So for more information, where would folks find the schedule?
For more information, the KCSCP website, kcscp.org, or on Facebook, Kansas City SCP. What's
also charlottestreet.org, or you can also find it on our Facebook as well. We do a lot of them. This is more detailed events for each one. You can find out what's happening. But the one on Troost on Saturday, we're pretty excited about, of really showcasing some of the photographers from SCP, introducing some different methods of photography, contemporary photography besides this, that SCP artists are working with. So there'll be demonstrations of wet plates, cyanotypes. And so the idea was to also invite the community over there around that neighborhood. One, free portraits we think is a cool thing, you know, that anyone can pop in. So we're going to be printing those off right there. And so we just wanted other activities, so is there also understanding about that. And maybe they don't have a camera, so Angie was great to find some donations of the point-and-shoot cameras. That'll be on hand alone, and the photographers will actually be there to assist. So it's not just all for professional photographers. We love that part of it, but I think to expose them to also different parts of Kansas City was really interesting to us as well.
Yeah, and one of the guidelines, again, they have to be at least 18 years old. Is that right?
Or have a guardian to sign.
For the free film part, the Saturday part, anybody and everybody could be a participant.
Come on down.
And again, where is that going to be at?
That's at 4001 Troost. That's a Charlotte Street Startup Residency. Over there, they'll be having the Airstream parked outside there during that time. So that's going to be after tonight. They'll be over at the Simpson House, and then they'll be over on Troost. So you can find the Airstream. There'll be the drop box there. You can drop it off, and also just pop in and just meet them. And they'll be displaying some of the photos from Detroit, I believe. So you kind of get an idea, also, you know, what others have been doing in other cities and you know, that are participating.
Yeah, and that's smart to sort of kickstart some ideas, inspiration, and that sort of thing. Neil, where do you go from here, from Kansas City?
Our next stop's Denver, and then after that, Salt Lake City, up to Portland, down to Oakland, through California to San Diego, and then all the way back to New York through the South.
Wow. Yeah. That is ambitious. So you're going to be gone probably till what, the next year?
Week before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a long haul.
So the work with this free film, the work that's being shot on black and white, is there a juried then exhibition of the work, or is everything going to be in on display?
There'll be a selection that's made from the returned rolls. And the jury, we're not really calling it a jury. It's really the team that is sort of running the project. Myself, Sean Jackson, Free Trip, and Caroline Doyle. We'll be making selects as we go city to city. Not really confining ourselves in terms of numbers, but we think somewhere between 50 to 200 photographs will ultimately be printed for this final exhibition in New York, and possibly published photo book.
Yeah. And Neil, you are a photographer yourself, right?
Yeah, my primary medium is actually sculpture, working mostly in wood, but photography has been a medium that I've enjoyed for a very long time. Yeah.
Do you have a website that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Sure.
Or social media?
Yeah. I mean, the project website would be freefilmusa.com. You can find more information about the project there. And then the studio that's running the project is Worthless Studios. Our website is www.worthlessstudios.com. Yeah, an easy one to remember.
You've got a great Instagram feed, too.
Yeah.
We kind of joke that, you know, this is an analog photography project, and Instagram maybe sort of was the reason for that, the demise maybe, or the shrinking of that medium. Yet here we are using it as a really important tool for getting these photographs out there. So yes, follow our Instagram page, or check out for more information, check out our Instagram page. It's just at Free Film USA. And we're starting to share some of the photographs that we've collected from Detroit, and hopefully more from Milwaukee later this week.
And now I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there any one photograph so far that's just kind of burned into your head, like, wow, this was something I didn't expect, or wow, I love, you know, blah, 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 whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that's what keeps us motivated on the road. Absolutely. Uncovering the photographs and seeing what people have taken is really the driving force here.
But is there any one?
There are a couple. Yeah, definitely. If you come down to the show, you'll see some of our favorites so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Fair enough. Hey, Pat, I want to say thank you for, aside from the free film that we're talking about today, I want to say thank you for your comments, the stories that you told about Dirt Gallery on Saturday. We're talking about studios or galleries spaces.
Oh, Locus Solus.
Yes. On Saturday, sort of going down memory lane, as it were, of the gallery spaces back in the 90s.
Yeah, there's some amazing artist-run spaces. We learned all the way back to the 30s, I believe. I thought the 60s was about where all my research was. So it was enlightening. And that's another cool project with the Rocket Grant.
I know.
That'll be happening. Yeah. So this to me is a very similar kind of project like that, you know. So it's cool.
But it also gave me an idea that I need to have you back and some others about those studio spaces that are no longer with us.
Sure.
Some great memories.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Ken Beeney's... the unofficial Nipsey Russell.
Oh, yeah. I've interviewed him about that, actually. He's down in the West Bottoms.
That.
Yeah, definitely.
They're using the Nipsey Russell.
Yes, he did.
Stay tuned. There's more of that story.
For sure.
But yeah, we'll definitely have to have you back. But thank you for your stories about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of forgot about those. Angie Jennings, also with KCSCP.
Yes.
Yeah. You're the president.
And we have we are going to be the inaugural show of the new location of KCAC. So the current works 2019 opens September 13th at 3200 Gillum Road.
Yeah,
which I'm really excited about.
I'm going in today about 4:30 for their sneak peek.
Yes, I will see you there.
Yeah,
I'm part of that event as well.
You know, and I'm hoping that will be a great space. I mean, just the light, the location. I mean, you know, down there in the River Key or City Market area, that was fine. But now, this is a beautiful
Yes, now they'll be part of a much broader arts community.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. It's really exciting.
And it almost looks like they may have studio space there.
Yes, as a matter of fact, they will be. So stay tuned about that.
Yeah,
they're working on a few things, working that out. And so they are working on getting studio space for artists, for select artists.
I love it. I love when you're here, Angie Jennings. You're a lot of fun. And Pat Alexander, Neil Humamako, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Any last words that y'all have for our listeners that we hadn't mentioned?
Shoot more film.
But you know, I think it's great that you can utilize both the new technology with the old. And I think you can utilize both, and I think this is a cool way to explore that and see how they're working with that, see how the Kansas City one artists are doing. And so I'm just excited for all these people, young and old, to all get together and share the knowledge and all that. So,
well, I find it fascinating to look at what another person sees, you know, what's important to them in their viewfinder, you know, mm-hmm. or in their hearts, you know.
There's a lot to be said right now.
Yeah.
So, yes, yeah. So, or show.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And you'll be here in town till
Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday. Good. Great. Well, enjoy your visit.
Thank you.
Hope you get some barbecue. Everyone that comes to Kansas City has to get barbecue, right? So we love that. Thank you so much, Angie Jennings, Pat Alexander, Neil Humamato. Also, we want to say thank you to Jane Gotch and Christopher Santi and Katie Stone. Next week, who do we have, Maria? We have Larry the O. And, yeah, so there's that. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, who Roger Wilder will be filling in for. We don't know where Jeffrey is. Set out search parties for him, but I'm sure he's at some gig someplace or in the country, whatever. But stay tuned next for Jazz Afternoon. I want to thank you all so much for tuning into Art Speak Radio. And, yeah, check out podcasts of this program on kkfi.org. And it's time for me to say, honey, I'm coming home.